This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Are you go to bed same early hour on Saturday night as you do Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Do you know how hard the weekends are when you don't have school for the kids? There's no virtual school. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I do. I've been there.
From 6:30 till they go to bed all day, baby. All day. All gas, Dave. No breaks.
Yeah. All gas, no break.
This is DCR.
It's the great Wednesday here on 98.7.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. This is a big day. I mean, we have Stump Rothenberg, which makes Wednesday just a day that you can't miss. That's at 6:45 this morning. The guys have questions locked and loaded. Head coach of the Rangers, David Quinn, at 7 o'clock. Dan Graziano at 7:30. So the day just gets better and better and better. The news on Tiger Woods, certainly not great, but at least we know now not life-threatening. Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We know the situation, multiple surgeries, the leg, the ankle. A couple of tweets I wanted to read quickly from Phil Mickelson. We're all pulling for you, Tiger. We're so sorry that you and your family are going through this.
I think we lost Dave. I think we officially lost Dave. Which is amazing in his palatial estate that he doesn't have Wi-Fi or internet.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's even possible, man.
It's Wednesday. Maybe he quit. Canty, maybe he just quit. He said enough is enough.
He's just got to tap out at this point?
I'm just going to tap out. You know what he's afraid of? He's afraid of Stump Rothenberg. I get it.
Well, I mean, Wednesdays is not his day. So I guess that's just kind of him taking it to that next level. Just to saying, you know what? I'm going to pull the plug on actually driving the show. See what happens to these other two guys.
That's
bad
right,
guy. He's a bad teammate.
He's a bad guy. Bad teammate. We all understand that. You know, here's what I will say about Tiger Woods, and I don't know if you feel the same way. So I actually, you know, was running around with the kids, didn't actually, you know, get a chance to initially see the news. A buddy of mine sent me the tweet, you know, talking about the accident. And my first thought was really similar to the first thought I had about Kobe, was this can't be true. Mm-hmm. That this didn't happen. And I mean, it was so vague initially too. I mean, you hear, you know, jaws of life, and your first thought goes to, you know, the worst thought. Which is, he better be okay. Like, he better still be alive.
Yeah.
And then eventually you find out he's alive, and it's, I mean, you got, you know, compound fractures. His right leg is a complete mess. But, I mean, that's his golf career. I mean, that's on the back burner. I mean, that just him moving forward, the fact that, you know, he's awake, he's in the hospital, they fixed his leg, and he's alive is obviously the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. And you mentioned it earlier, man, the fact that he's going to be able to recover from this and still be able to be there for his kids in the way that he would want to be. And you know his son, Charlie, they have that close relationship because he goes out and he plays golf with him all the time. I mean, they had that event last year that he played in. So it's just one of those things that you wanted to see him be able to enjoy that part of it, especially after some of the adversity that he had been through in his personal life, you know, a lot earlier in his career. So this is one of those things that you wanted to make sure that, you know, he was okay so he can enjoy that phase of life. Similar to the conversation we had about Kobe and lamenting the fact that he wasn't going to be able to enjoy being that girl dad and being there for his family, you know, as he was looking forward to, because he had put that stuff on the back burner so long for his playing career. So it's just one of those things. You just hope that Tiger was going to be okay for his sake and for his family's sake so they could enjoy that next phase of life that he was about to go into. But I'm with you, though. When I first heard about it, my mind went to a dark place because I was wondering, you know, whether or not we'd be talking about losing another legend. I mean, this is around the same time that we lost Kobe Bryant last year, and just to have something like that happen, I mean, I think that, you know, unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, we're thinking the worst in that situation.
I'm back.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Thanks for joining us, man. Are you all right? Everything good?
Well, you know, I don't like the Wednesday, so I decided to opt out. I was thinking, I was looking at Ian Desmond as kind of my hero in that moment, and I thought maybe I would opt out of the Wednesday show, but I'm back. I'm ready to go.
We missed you.
Did you hear when I talked about Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, or did that not get in there?
No, we got
no.
No,
we
time.
Didn't get that.
Yeah. We got nothing.
No.
Did you get any of the tweets that I went through about Tiger
Zero.
Woods?
Zero. I know the first tweet I think was from Phil Mickelson. Yeah.
Yeah. So Phil Mickelson spoke, and I got to be honest, I was very witty as I was going through the tweets. I thought I raised the level of my personality, and then I get kicked off. I think maybe RJ realized that I was rising the level of my game, and he kicked me off the line. I'm thinking maybe that's what happened.
No, I mean, this is a you problem. This is a you issue. I mean, the whole vendor thing, I wouldn't be surprised Bill wasn't paid, something like that.
I don't pay the bills. I wouldn't know.
This could be retribution. This could be your plow guy messing around.
Yes,
I don't want the double plow today. You think he's cutting my line?
I wouldn't be surprised, would you? I
mean, I'm great this guy, with vendors. Disappointed, I mean, with me?
How could they not be?
I guess you
bullied him.
I mean, it's just a Kyrie-like conspiracy. Everybody's out to get Dave. That's what it is.
Well, somebody's out to get me today. Somebody's doing a hell of a job trying to sabotage the show. All right. So obviously, Tiger Woods, that's the story. So, but I went through some of the tweets, and Barack Obama weighed in. You know you've made it to the top level of any profession when you have ex-presidents chiming in on your health and well-being. But everyone was the same. It was Phil Mickelson. It was Jack Nicklaus. It's Barack Obama. It was Magic Johnson. And, of course, they all echoed the same sentiments of, you know, we hope that you're okay. We wish the best to you and your family. And, obviously, we're concerned about you and anything that you possibly need from us. We're here for you. So that's where we are as far as Tiger Woods is concerned. Let's switch our attention to the New York Yankees, shall we? Am I still on? Am I still here?
Yeah, you're still here.
Oh,
whew. You know what's amazing? Quickly, before you switch gears for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the other things, too, that, in all honesty, came to my mind was how eerily similar this was to what happened with Ben Hogan, who's considered one of the greatest golfers of all time.
Yes.
And dude, I'm reading, so I actually went back and I was reading some of the stuff with Ben Hogan. So he was 36 years old, actually head-on collision, him and his wife in the car with the Greyhound bus.
Oh, my God.
Double fracture of his pelvis, fractured collarbone, left ankle fracture, chipped rib, and near-fatal blood clots. And what's amazing about this story is he actually comes back from all of that. Like, they didn't know if he was going to make it through this ordeal. He comes back, and 16 months after the accident that almost killed him, he won the U.S. Open.
Unbelievable.
That's amazing. And I'm sure that medicine wasn't near what it is now, right? When you talk about the injuries that he endured back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, he was in pain. Like, he was in, from that time forward, he was in constant pain. Like, getting through rounds was, I mean, they said it was, like,
I'm sure.
Agonizing.
Well, look at what Tiger's now endured. I mean, it's so sad. Just forget about the golfing aspect of it for a minute, Chris. This is a guy who's 45 years old. So he's in similar age to where we are. He's had 5 back surgeries. He's had leg surgery. Now he's had this vicious accident where, you know, God knows what it's going to mean for the rest of his life physically. He's got a long life to still live. I mean, this is a guy that you certainly worry about physically moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, his injury report sounds like an NFL offensive lineman that played 15 years. I mean, that's Dave, just the 5 back surgeries alone. I mean, listen, man, you get one back, and then, listen, when you start having surgeries on that, it usually is downhill. The fact that he's able to come back and compete after all of those injuries, I mean, that's just a testament to his mental fortitude. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy that's been through a hell of a lot. And so, I mean, I know that, you know, we're focused on Tiger, you know, recovering and just his overall well-being. But as far as his golf career goes, I mean, to me, that's one of those things that I'm skeptical of just because of how much he's already physically endured. And then having to get past this accident as well and hearing about the shape that his leg's in. Like, this is scary stuff, man.
It is scary stuff. And it's real life stuff. This takes us out of the candy store, as Michael Kay likes to say. All right, that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Garrett Cole and analytics. And this is an interesting take. And you know what, Rick? I don't think he's really wrong with his take. And that is they're trying to hold guys down with some of these analytical theories and mindsets. And they're trying to keep the contracts down because of that. Here's Garrett Cole. Analytics have flaws in Major League Baseball.
I would hope if you pulled a pitcher too early in a pivotal game in the World Series, that the next time if you had the opportunity to get there, you would maybe make a different decision. Yeah, but the only way you're going to learn that that's the wrong decision is by making a wrong call, I guess. So we all got to learn and we all got to get better. I just don't want to see that kind of stuff used to make the product worse or to manipulate overhead. Yeah, that's just stupid.
I think it absolutely affects, and for the negative, Rick, Major League Baseball. And case in point, Blake Snell last year in the World Series.
Yeah, that was awful. I get what he's saying, and I think as far as starting pitching is concerned and how much someone like Garrett Cole is making, I can understand why he's saying it. Because, I mean, you're de-emphasizing the importance of your starting pitching. with how much they're going to the bullpen, with matchups and everything else. And they can explain it any way they want to explain it. But, I mean, you get to the postseason, and then you realize how important it is to have someone like Gerrit Cole or Jacob deGrom.
Hello.
With the baseball. So, and to his point, too, I mean, analytics has already affected baseball in a negative way, in my opinion, with the emphasis on home runs and in walks as opposed to putting the ball in play and everything else.
Yeah.
I'm all set. And here's the other thing, though, too, Dave. I mean, the starting pitcher is, in my mind, and maybe this is, I'm a former goalie, so you know how I feel about goalies. But, like, the goalie's in there for the entire game. So a lot of kids' favorite player ends up being the goalie. Got cool equipment, cool mask. I get to watch him for the whole game. Like, I will turn games on just to watch the starting pitcher. Like, I'm buying my tickets because Jacob deGrom is pitching.
But I don't think that's unusual. I mean,
no, I don't think so either.
I mean, when you're gearing up for a Yankees game, are you more juiced up when Gerrit Cole is on the mound or when anybody else is on the mound?
When Gerrit Cole is on the mound, but that's my point. Like, I'm going there, like, I am taking the time out of my day to go to a Yankees game or watch a Yankees game or Mets game on TV because I want to see Gerrit Cole pitch. And the last thing I want to see is, oh, because of the matchup, you know, we don't like Gerrit going through the, you
right,
know,
the third time through
times.
The lineup.
Yeah.
Garbage.
I get to watch him pitch five innings when you can clearly, like, you want to see him go seven. So, I mean, I get what he's saying, and I agree with him.
Yeah, well, I think he's 100% right. Now, listen, if you're, you know, a fourth starter, if you're Davey Garcia, if there's some reason for that, I get it. But the Blake Snell one is the one that just, it rings so hollow. You have your best starter. There's no two ways about it. In the biggest moment of the season, pitching a gem, and you take him out of that game.
Yeah, but the other thing, though, too, is you're not allowing these guys to get the opportunity to build themselves up to someone that can go seven innings. Like, now what you're doing, I mean, in the minor leagues is you're asking these guys, give me four or five innings.
That's right.
And that's what they repetitively do. So how right. are they going to ever get a chance to take that next step to give you seven innings?
But, Chris, doesn't it feel like they've kind of devalued the starting pitcher so that you don't have to pay the starting pitcher as much money moving forward because you're not going to get more than, you know, five and a third innings out of this guy?
I don't know that was the goal, Dave, but I think that's just a byproduct of analytics infiltrating the sport at such a high degree. Like, I mean, you got to keep in mind, like, I mean, analytics got their big bump in part because you had small market teams that just felt like they couldn't compete with the big boys in the sport. Like teams like the Yankees, teams like the Dodgers. And so they had to try to find another way to be able to field a competitive team, and they just decided that they were going to use numbers in order to do that so they could be judicious with their resources. But, I mean, as far as the impact that it has on the business and affecting the various positions, again, I think that's just a byproduct. I just think that's a side effect. I don't think that was the intent or the goals of the owners. But I do think it is a tool that the owners are going to try to wield and to manipulate the players and to try to keep costs down.
This is going to be a very, and I don't think you can overstate it, a very, very ugly and contentious negotiation after this baseball season.
They got to get a salary cap floor, Dave. I mean, I know that they don't say that they don't have a salary cap, but the teams use the luxury tax as a salary cap. If they're going to have a de facto salary cap, then there's got to be a floor. There's got to be a bottom in terms of what teams have to spend every single year. There's got to be a minimum spend for player salaries. There just has to be. I mean, having teams with $50 and $60 million payrolls, and then you got teams that have $220, $230 million payrolls is absolutely ridiculous.
It's a joke.
There should not be that type of disparity in the sport in terms of what clubs pay their players.
And you have, I mean, how many teams right now, Rick, can you sit and say have zero chance of competing for a playoff spot? None.
Without the expanded playoffs, too? Yeah, too many.
A third of the league right now that had no chance?
Yeah, I mean, look at what these teams are doing right now. I mean, these teams are just, they have no interest in winning. They're just trying to shed payroll and save money. And they, I mean, they act like this, I mean, this luxury tax threshold is this humongous punitive, you know, tax that they're going to have to pay. I mean, the Dodgers are spending $260 million. And they're paying, what was the number did I say, like $10 million, $13
That's
million?
That's crazy. That's crazy, Rick. That is crazy.
I mean, they make it like that's not a. I mean, that's let's be honest. I mean, that's
good
not
good on them.
Well, you know, great on them, but that's not like that's not this punitive amount of money that
that's
you're paying.
That's a back end of the rotation starting pitcher.
That's right.
that's right.
For a team that I'm sure makes money hand over fist after winning the World Series.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex in North Carolina. Good morning, Alex. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, David. How are you?
I'm good.
I have a question for the big guy, Chris. Can you hear me? Chris, can you hear me?
I got you.
I got you. Okay. So I'm a Yankee fan, and I love your perspectives, brother. Okay, so we have Gerrit Cole, Domingo, maybe, potentially. Mm-hmm. And then we have Luis Severino. What else do we have to start with? Our lineup. We have to fix our lineup. Tell me.
Lineup?
The lineup or the starting pitching rotation?
The rotation, I'm sorry.
The rotation? Well, here's the thing. I mean, you're talking about Cashman going out and essentially taking a flyer on Corey Kluber and Jameson Taillon and seeing what those guys have left. Both have dealt with significant injuries in recent years, so it's just a matter of are you going to be able to get the most out of them and how much are you going to be able to get out of them in terms of innings pitched. But I think you're relying on one of those guys to emerge as one of your options as a frontline pitcher, and then Domingo Germán should slide in as your number three guy. I think that's what Brian Cashman is banking on. I think that's why they've gone through the trouble to try to mend fences with Germán and with his teammates and with the fans, because they realize how important a piece he's probably going to factor into being with this Yankees rotation and with this team overall.
There's a lot of question marks once you get past Gerrit Cole. That's the reality of the rotation right now.
Yeah, that's true. But there's a lot of hope, I think, as well. No?
Yeah, there's a lot of hope. You know, it might take some time. I mean, early on in the season, you may have to. I mean, you're probably going to be carried by your lineup and your offense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. I mean, they have the lineup to do it. And you expect, I mean, everyone at the beginning of the season, hopefully, fingers crossed for Yankees fans, stay healthy. I mean, you're already dealing with Clark Schmidt. I mean, Aaron Judge has got new fancy teeth, so he looks great.
Wow.
I think he looks good.
I mean, he got new teeth. I'm just saying. I mean, he got new teeth.
No, you did. You said nothing wrong.
Okay.
But I think I think he looks nice. I think he looks good.
Hey, you look good, you feel good, you play good.
You just got to
play good, you get paid
him.
Good.
Like I don't also worry about success with him if he's healthy. I just worry about the health with Aaron Judge, because these guys are, Chris, they're always hurt.
I don't know what it is, Dave. I know they changed up their sports performance, strength and conditioning staff. But, I mean, this team is always dealing with major injuries, and guys can't get back. It's like you see guys that have similar injuries around the sport coming back, you know, weeks earlier than Yankees players. And I don't understand what that's all about. But, I mean, that's one of the things that you always have to hold your breath with this team about, is can these guys stay healthy? Can Aaron Judge stay healthy? Can the arms that you have on the staff stay healthy? Like, that's always a huge question mark. I mean, if the guys are in the lineup, then I don't think there are very many questions with this team.
Totally agree. 100%. Let's go to Ray in Jersey City. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to apologize for Dave from Jersey City before. That guy's nuts. after that, I just want to ask a question. How many out of the 324 innings that Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge can play, how many do you think that they'll actually play this season?
This is supposed to be the year. I mean, Chris mentioned it. So what the Yankees did was they went out and they got Eric Cressy. And as far as he's told the Yankees, I mean, I've heard Kay say this a couple different times, is that it will take a year to break a lot of the bad habits, the training habits of the players. So this should be the year that it all pays off. And I mean, that we obviously have to wait to see if that's the case. But can't stay healthy, what's that?
Did he say of the 300 innings they could potentially play, by the way?
Yeah, which is, again, I mean,
what is happening in Jersey City?
I don't know what's happening in Jersey City. I was just
answering. Anybody know you?
Canty Garbage.
That's my favorite. Chris
Canty Garbage.
Chris Canty Garbage.
Cowboys Nation.
He wastes no words.
Cowboys Nation.
Just the name and what you are. Chris Canty Garbage.
I love that. We should do a segment like that.
What would the segment
be? Cowboy Nation now.
Just one word.
Just like one word out, to like, give
yeah,
your description?
RJ throws out something. You got to come up with the first word.
Like word
do
association?
Do not disrespect Dak Prescott.
I feel like we should use that as the drop with Cuddle Mary Trash. Garbage.
Yes.
Garbage.
Yes.
I like
Thank
that.
Thank you.
And it's not your
Cut
traditional garbage, by the way.
Garbage. No R in there.
No. Very
Cut that up.
We
should have that by next Monday with the system.
With the system.
Cut that up. That
way like somebody know Chris Kent. Anybody know you?
I wish he'd call back more.
He's great.
I love him.
It's a gift.
All right, let's hear from Aaron Boone on what is certainly a serious situation, and that is Domingo Germán. So he addressed the team yesterday, and Aaron Boone was asked how that conversation went with Germán and the club.
I thought it was impactful, I hope, and I believe that. It was a good step. I think in looking at it, it was something that is important to happen, and I think gave everyone a chance to kind of get in the room and really start that conversation, you know, if there's any conversations to be had individually, which I think have happened. But I think it sets the table to continue having those conversations while also as a team really coming around and trying to support Domingo and helping him moving forward. And, you know, now I think the proof is going to be in what's ahead and how he is as a teammate and how he is in life in general. And hopefully we can all be there to support and help him become the best version of himself.
A lot of pressure on Domingo Germán, both on the mound and off the field as well. And it's funny, you know, Aaron Boone says, Rick, in that soundbite, we got to figure out the best way we can support Domingo. I kind of look at it the opposite. We got to figure out a way that Domingo Germán can be the best version of himself and can be respected and you know, brought back into the fold by his teammates.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that's kind of more what he meant. You know, they're going to do their best to, you know, try to help to rehabilitate Domingo Germán. I mean, as a person, as a teammate. But I mean, these are conversations that he had to have, because as a teammate, you need to know, and he's got to be an open book about it. Like, mm-hmm. what have you done to, like, I know about the suspension and everything else, but what other steps have you taken to make sure something like this never happens again? Because again, I mean, and I'll reiterate this, the fact that he was that comfortable doing it in public like that, if I was his teammate, would scare me to death as to what was actually happening behind closed doors with him.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's not just something that you just do for the first time in front of a bunch of people.
No way.
Not at all. So I'm with you on that one, Rico. But I mean, as far as what Domingo Germán did, you know, yesterday and addressing the team on a couple of different occasions and then talking to some teammates individually, I think it's a necessary step. It's something that he has to do just so they can see his sincerity and his contrition about what took place and the position that he put his girlfriend in, their family in, and then also those players, the situation that those guys are in, because they've got to answer questions about it. So I think that part of it was important. But now moving forward, I mean, one of the things that Domingo Germán and the Yankees organization has to realize is that all of these players are going to wrap their heads around this and wrap their arms around Domingo Germán in their own time. Because there are guys in that locker room that feel stronger about this particular issue than others. Like, it just is. It's not something that, you know, anybody would be on board with, but this is a serious issue. And this evokes some strong emotion. And there are going to be some guys that have a hard time coming around on Germán. There are going to be some guys that potentially would never come around on Germán. So the Yankees organization and Domingo Germán have to be prepared for that. And how they handle that is probably going to play a part in how productive Domingo Germán, the pitcher, is going to be on this Yankees team.
Here's the thing, Dave. I mean, this happens in, I mean, every locker room. I'm not trying to compare situations and what Domingo Germán did. But, I mean, not every guy in every locker room likes each other. I mean, sometimes there's guys you just don't like at all for all sorts of different reasons.
Yeah, but not liking a guy is different than hating him for actions that he's committed, I would think, no?
Well, I mean, either way, it's a your lack of respect, you hate them, whatever you want to say. I mean, you don't get to pick who your teammates are. Sometimes you have to deal with it. As long as it doesn't become disruptive to the locker room. And that's, I mean, I think that's part of what they're trying to avoid. Is that if he doesn't come back, have these conversations, doesn't look remorseful, then all of a sudden, as teammates, now it's like, okay, I can't do this. Like, I can't just suck it up and have him on this team anymore.
And they're going to, you know, do everything within their power to try to make this thing work. You can hear that, by the way, that they're handling this. But at some point, if they can't figure out a way to have a cohesive team, you know, you got to see the forest through the trees, and you probably have to make a decision on him. I mean, we're not there now, but I don't think anybody would be surprised if we got there at some point.
Well, I think this is probably as bad as it's going to be, though, Dave. You know what I mean?
Like,
I
feel
like, yeah, I feel like the brunt of it is going to be right now, this time. And then once we get to the regular season, the focus will be on playing baseball and trying to win games. But I mean, this spring training this is the part that is going to be tricky for them to be able to navigate. Like, if they can get past this and go the entire spring and not really have any incidents from Domingo Germán and no dust-ups in the locker room, then I think the chances are that this thing is going to be okay for the regular season.
Unless he pitches poorly, though.
Right. Right.
If he pitches poorly.
It can't be performative, though, Rico. Like, it's just one of those things.
I'm not saying with his teammates. I'm not saying, like they'll get to a point where they feel comfortable having him as a teammate. With all these conversations, the Yankees will do whatever it takes to make sure, you know, he fits his, you know, finds his way to fit in. I'm just saying, as far as it becoming a story and us going back to what he did in trying to connect dots as to, you know, how he's doing in the locker room, if he gets off to a really bad start.
Yeah.
You know those stories will start. Like, that will be one of the
things that'll be the first thought.
Oh, yeah, that'll come out, no question. But I'm just talking about the dynamic in the clubhouse. I'm not necessarily looking at it in terms of the criticism and the Yankees bringing him back and having all the players and everybody in the organization, you know, endure, you know, having Domingo Germán on this roster and everything that comes along with that. I'm just talking about in terms of how the individuals relate to one another, how Domingo Germán gets along with his teammates, gets along with the coaching staff and the front office personnel.
Agreed.
All right, DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. I wonder what the fan base feels about this. Like, as a Yankees fan, because we've seen it with Aroldis Chapman, and you love him now. If the fan base looks at it and says, you know what, all is forgiven, he paid his penance, he's back, and he's a Yankee, or if you're a Yankees fan and you have real reservations about Domingo Germán. So 800-919-3776, we continue the conversation about the Yankees and Germán. And then at 6:45, it's a little segment we like to call Stump Rothenberg. So line those calls up as well, 800-919-3776. There's another little wrinkle we added to Stump Rothenberg. I don't know if you guys heard it this past weekend, but for lack of a better term, and to go with the caller from Jersey City, one word, it was sensational.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Rangers are 1-2 in a row, but it's not going to be easy now. Artemi Panarin going to be out for the foreseeable future? We know what's going on with him and that whole Russian situation and the allegations. I don't know if you saw this. It was in the Post yesterday, Rick. An article that said, I guess they talked to three or four players who were on that team with him in 2011. They said there's no way this happened.
Yeah, I told you that. Yeah, I mean, I told you that yesterday when we talked about it. It was, or whenever we talked about it. I mean, teammates deny it happened. The hotel that it supposedly happened at denied it happened. I mean, and you saw how vehemently behind Panarin the Rangers are.
Right. Well, if you don't think it happened, then you stand behind the guy, right?
Exactly right.
This guy is nuts.
Like, guys that have played for this, Nazarov said he's out of his mind.
And it sounds like he's trying to curry favor with Putin. Is the whole rationale
with the Russian Ice Hockey Federation? Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's a crazy story, man.
It really is. I mean, and we'll talk to Quinny at 7 o'clock this morning. I'm sure when he signs on to be the Rangers head coach, they don't go over. So if the Russian International Hockey Federation starts accusing players of a decade ago to try to curry favor with Vladimir Putin, I don't think that's a conversation you have, Chris, at any point.
Not at all, Dave. But it's just crazy to me how they could just make up a story from 10 years ago, like just make it up out of thin air. Like, we're just going to make something up to discredit this guy because he supports a political ally of the leader of the country. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's what happens around the world. All right, 800-919-3776. You need the number because you need it for Stump Rothenberg, which is coming your way in about 7 to 10 minutes here on 98.7.
That last traffic report.
Yeah.
I don't know why this. Maybe you guys are right. I need Jesus. I need help. But, I mean, Debbie did some kind of, you know, read at the end of it. And it was about thermometers.
Mm-hmm.
And just for some reason, like, it just came to my mind. Who would ever thought that the whole idea of a rectal thermometer was a good idea?
I'm going to be honest with you, and I probably shouldn't be.
Yes, honesty time. Can I get some music? Give me some music. Give me some honest music.
I already feel like I should never have started this conversation.
Not too late to pull it back, Dave.
Yeah.
It's not too late.
I'm going to do it. Yes. Full transparency, I'm going to do it. And I think we should all share something today after I tell you this. as a child, I did, in fact, receive my temperature being taken in a rectal manner.
Regularly?
I mean, remember, I'm older than you. I think that was the norm, and it probably took until I was, I don't 18? Know, 7 or 8.
Say, ah.
Until they started to.
Quickly, so I was very appreciative of that.
Until they started to perfect the oral thermometer. But yeah, it was terrible.
I feel like
I felt violated.
That's a form of child abuse.
I felt violated.
It's not right. You should have more say.
And they petrified. Whatever you do, don't move. There's mercury in this thing. And if this thing explodes, you're in serious trouble. So now I'm being invaded in a way that I've never felt before, in a way I've never felt since.
Yeah, but here's what I don't understand, though.
Yeah.
So, like an idiot, I go down this, like, now I'm reading about it, when it was invented and everything else.
Why did I admit this, by the way?
Well, you had to, and I appreciate it. I hope your parents got a new thermometer when they started going orally from the original.
Wow, well, I think the rectal thermometers were solely rectal thermometers. You couldn't use them. Yeah, oral variety.
So they say. I could say something right now would get me fired 100%. I could
please
use some
don't
initials.
Do it. Don't do it.
I could
don't
use some it. Initials right here, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna choose not to. I can also get money from these machines.
By the way, I'm getting texts from people. That's disgusting. This happened. This was a thing. All right. There's no way that I'm the only person who's talking right now that with everyone listening that no one had this done. Let's make this a group. I welcome the rectal thermometer who have had that done in their lives to call us and we can commiserate. That's how they used to take the temperature of people.
So you've completely turned off the entire plow industry. So now you to make up for it, you're going to bring in.
Wow.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, though? It's funny you even say that, Dave, is that like my mother would tell me stories. And she's older than you.
Of course she's older than me. Mickey's, you're like 7 years younger than me.
Yeah, Mickey's, I'm not going to say her age. She'll get mad at me because she's, who knows if she's listening. But she used to say, like, she used to complain of being sick. And her mother's response anytime she said she feels sick, you need an enema.
An enema.
Like, this was common practice.
That's like worse than the rectal temperature taking.
I know, that's what I said.
And my kids, you know, Mike, when they're sick and we have the thing that just goes over your head, right? You put it over the forehead, they're like, oh, come on, this is so unfair. It's like, listen, pal. All right?
You have no idea.
I mean, there was Vaseline involved. It was like a multi-step process.
Oh, my God.
I'm not kidding.
You still carry the scars with that, don't you?
I remember it. It probably, it's like the Rick was breastfeeding when he was like 4 and he remembers it. I probably had this stopped at 5 or 6 and it haunts me.
Wow.
I just don't understand the theory behind this whole thing, though. It says, so apparently the reason why they did this, because that was a safer alternative than oral temperature taking because of the mercury and other toxic chemicals.
Yeah, because if the thing explodes open and goes into my bottom, that's great. Don't worry, everyone's safe.
I'm gonna need that clip. I'm gonna need that isolated immediately.
I get a so Ben's former baseball coach just sends me a text. He says, "I'm with you. I'm 46, and I had that experience as well." There's no way I'm the only one that has had the rectal thermometer taking. There's no way.
I've never been more thankful to be an 80s baby than right now. To not have to experience
it was,
that form
it
was, of temperature taking.
I remember it so vividly. So vividly.
I imagine you would remember.
But I remember not telling them that I was sick just to avoid them taking my temperature. And I remember one day, and I probably haven't thought about this in 38 years. I remember one day, like, waking up for school and my mom being like, "You don't look well." I'm like, "No, I'm fine." And this was another thing they used to do, and I didn't think they do it. They used to kiss your forehead. Do you remember that, guys? Like, your mom would kiss your forehead to feel if it felt like it was hot.
If it was warm.
So my mom kissed my forehead. She's like, "You're burning up." I was like, "I don't think I am." And she's like, "Go into your room, and we're going to take your temperature."
You're about to hack up a lung, and you're like, "I'm fine."
I'm like, "Mom, I'm fine. I can go to school." I hated to have it taken so badly. I would prefer to have gone to school with a fever.
You can't swallow solid foods, but you're fine. I'm just going to go to school. That's I don't right. need my temperature
Mom,
taken.
I'm telling you, I'm fine. All right, well, you know what? People are lined up now. I told you this is a thing. Andy and damn you for Debbie Duhaime 45 minutes ago talked about the thermometer. You're an awful guy. Now you've scarred me.
No, we didn't. That was your parents.
Terrible. Let's go to Andy in Forest Hills. Andy, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm terrible now, but I'm okay.
Okay, well, you don't have to be terrible because I'm in my 60s and I grew up with that, believe me. Use half a jar of Vaseline to put the thermometer in.
So you remember it.
Absolutely.
This was common practice.
Back in the day, that was common practice.
So yeah, but why? What,
half a jar of Vaseline?
Yeah, I don't kind of thermometer.
How big was the thermometer? Dear God.
As far as I'm concerned, they should have used the whole jar.
I remember.
Dear God.
It was terrible. I have never felt better about people saying that they have had a similar experience. Oh, it's terrible.
You didn't want to be out on that branch by yourself, Dave. I get it.
No, it's a terrible, Brad, that the whole thing is crumbling. Oh,
that probably stays with you the rest of the day with all that Vaseline up there and everything else.
Oh, you had to go like now you're using a half a roll of toilet paper. You got to go in there. You got to clean things out. It was terrible. Travis in Jersey also has an experience. Good morning, Travis.
Good morning, guys. I absolutely have an experience. I'm not even 30 yet. I'm only 29 years old, and I remember.
Wait.
Rectal thermometer.
Wait, you're 29?
29, and I probably got it till I was about 4 years old.
Wait, but by that point, the oral thermometer was in full practice.
It was in full practice, man. I got to blame my parents on this one.
It's not as accurate, apparently, Dave.
You know what? You laugh. I remember, thanks for the call, Travis, I remember getting to the point where I could kind of like fight back and be like, Mom, I can't, I'm very uncomfortable with you putting this in my bottom and you know, lubing me up and all that kind of stuff. Can we stop?
Dave, you should have took it a step further and broke the damn thermometer, man. Break it.
You don't understand. Mercury was like plutonium. Like, you were terrified. They're like, whatever you do, do not move. You could break it, and all of a sudden, the mercury could explode all over the place.
Well, Dave, you should have thrown it down a sewer line or something. You should have got rid of that thing. You should have tossed that thermometer. It should have been someplace where your parents can't find it. Bury it in the backyard. I don't know what you got to do.
They would have gotten another one. They would have just gotten another one.
Well, yeah, but it's as if the thing breaks because you move too much, the mercury is going to be your only issue with the glass thermometer.
Right. Now I have fractured glass in my rear. Right.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Oh my! But I remember telling, like, listen, can we graduate to the oral thermometer? And like you just said, I was told, no, that's not nearly as accurate. Like, if I have 102 or 101.6, does it really matter?
We can afford to be a couple percent.
Right. So does it really matter that much? If it, like a 0.4?
Yeah.
I can't believe I shared this.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm way too comfortable with you guys. Steve in Jersey. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Terrible.
I know. But why you bring that up for? Because now I'm thinking of it. I haven't heard about that in over 50 years. 50 years. What the heck? You should have brought it out of this. Let it go.
I haven't thought about it. So, Steve, you had it done also, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm a 60s baby. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. I haven't thought of it to almost 50, and now I'm like, oh, my gosh. I remember that now like it was yesterday. Not good at all. Bad experience.
That's terrible. I felt violated. I haven't thought about this in like 30 years, and I hated that.
Now he's got to have an emergency session with his psychiatrist, man. Look what you're doing to these people, Dave.
And how about all the people that have called? Like, why would you have done this? This is not me. Rick, this was you.
I can't believe of all the things to spur on a conversation, this was the topic.
I can't believe that you brought it up 45 minutes after Debbie did the traffic.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
Well, because when she brought it up, all of a sudden it hit me in that, like, I just thought of that. I'm like, whose idea was this? So then I researched it.
Wait, so you're not even, because you're not that much younger than me. What are you, 40, 39?
Yeah, I'm in the 30s.
Then, well, how, you can't tell us how old you are?
He's hanging on, Dave. He's hanging on.
But you're not that much younger than me. You didn't even know that this was a thing?
No, I know it's a thing. I realize it's a thing. It actually reminded me of Dr. Doolittle. Remember Dr. with Eddie Murphy? Where the dog's getting his temperature taken. He's like, uh-oh, you better grab that. I'm going to swallow it. And the thermometer disappears. But no, I knew it happened. But I was saying to the guys during one of the breaks, I'm like, whose idea was it? Like, who invented this? Like, of all places to have a thermometer, like, this is the best, this is the most accurate reading of your temperature? It doesn't seem like it's...
It seems abusive, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
DCR presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. let's go to Anthony in Holbrook. Anthony, you're next up on 98.7.
Boys, how we doing this morning?
We're fine. We were better before we have violated like this. What's going on, Anthony?
My thing is, I wake up, I'm trying to listen to sports, and then all of a sudden, you talk about this. I've emotionally removed this from my head 30 years ago, and now all of a sudden, I'm thinking about this. I remember vividly, wake up, I'm so visibly sick. And I'm like, Mom, I'm okay. I can go to school. I'm okay. I'm okay. And I'm basically shaking, sweating. And I look over, and my brother's got the thermometer in his hand, just belly laughing. Here you go, Mom. And then he's just like, are you kidding me? How is this a thing?
It was a thing.
His brother's got
it. It was torturous. And I remember they used to come, this is telling too much, but they used to come like with three weapons. It was the thermometer, it was the jar of Vaseline, and it was the toilet paper. It was the three weapons they would approach you with.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Anytime that lube has to enter the mix of doing, like, you have to question if we're really, I mean, what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We got to question everything. You know what? Honestly, I would have been better off just not knowing. You know what? You feel warm. You have a temperature. We'll just assume that. You're burning up. You can't move. We're going to bring you to the doctor. Like that would have been comfortable for me.
Yeah. Let's just go that route. But I mean, I wonder, do your parents feel guilty for doing that to you? Like, is there some guilt there?
I would bet you. I'm going to ask my mom about this later. She's getting the second shot today at the Javits Center, so I'm going to call her and see how she's feeling. I'm going to ask her about this. Not only will she not feel guilty, Chris, she's going to defend the practice. She's going to be like, that was what we did. Like, that was how we took your temperature. And she's going to be disappointed. It's still not done like that, I bet.
It's the most accurate. She's looking out for your well-being.
Most accurate. Phil in Brooklyn. Accuracy. Phil, you're next up, and hopefully last on this topic on 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, what's up, guys? You brought up a tough wound there. Tough one. We used to have two bottles of Vaseline in my house. One of them used to take the thermometer, used to just stick it in. So I used to always be careful. One was for our lips. So my mother said, I get the Vaseline, you're going out of school, you got to put it on your lips. And I was always afraid I was going to switch the thermometer Vaseline for the lip Vaseline. And it doesn't matter, because you were getting that. Even if I took the oral one and it came out normal, my mother would say, you know what, we got to do that just to verify it. I don't know.
Oh, God. And then if you were really sick, and thanks for the call, Phil, if you were really sick, now you had multiple days of this. Like, if the initial insertion provided a temperature of like 102, now, you know, they give you Tylenol. And then you have to have, like, you know, your temperature taken every 4 to 6 hours just to see where you're sitting.
So you couldn't just fake it and say that you were feeling better. They had to verify it by actually doing it again.
This is an awful conversation, DiPietro.
Kids today will never know.
You may have just solved load management. We go back to this.
So how do
you
feel? Robert the Roach tweets in.
I can play.
I can play. I, you know what? I can play. You sure? Because we could take your temperature rectally. Actually, Robert DeRosha tweets in. I just had this conversation with my teenage son the other day. He complains all the time about the ear thermometer. He has absolutely no idea.
That's amazing.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's... I'm shaking. This
could
be a horrendous, performance of Stump Rothenberg. But let's go there.
He's confident.
I have so much knowledge.
He's arrogant.
I'm a big star, you know.
He's unstable.
I'm crazy.
He's Dave Rothenberg.
You don't think I'm smart?
And now it's time to see if you can stump Rothenberg.
All right. I'm teetering here. Let's bring him in. Andy and Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, DCR. What's up, Drive Time?
Nothing, Andy. We feel violated. Andy, how old are you?
Older than you, Dave.
You had your temperature taken in this manner, no?
We had to do the butt clench, and Mom would try to force things in there. It was not pretty.
All right, Andy, what's your question of the day?
So, this past Monday marked the 41st anniversary of the Miracle on Ice. Of the 20-man U.S. roster, 4 played for Rick's Boston University team. Can you name 3 of those 4 Terriers?
Oh, boy. I mean, Rick, you're probably going to have to... help out. Well, Arruzioni's BU, right?
Yes. Yeah, you got this.
That's one.
I'm not going to get this.
Yes, you are.
One guy was a Ranger.
One guy was a ranger. Pavlich?
No.
Come on, Dave. Think.
One guy was a ranger. I don't know.
It's a type of material.
It's a type of material.
Sometimes pajamas are made out of it. Very sexy.
Oh, Dave Silk.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know where they all went to school. I remember all the guys. Jim Craig?
Yep.
That's the third one, and I'll give you the fourth one. Defenseman Jack O'Callaghan.
Now, he was hurt.
Nice.
They had to force him back to play in that. All right, Andy. Thank you. That's a tough question, no?
Tough question, Dave. Tough one.
I mean, if you just asked, you know, name some of the guys on the team, that's one thing. But then to take it a step further, where did they go to college? That's quite the question. All right, let's go to the Hawkeye. I love this name. Hawkeye, Long Island. Go ahead. You're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. Combining two of your favorite categories, not rectal thermometers, baseball and presidents. What was the only law school to graduate a president of the United States and a World Series winning manager?
And it's a law school?
Yes.
This is a brutal question.
How recent is
I'm thinking Tony La Russa. Is Tony La Russa the answer as far as the manager's concerned?
No. There were two managers who won World Series who went to law school.
This is a brutal question.
Yeah, this is a tough question. I don't know if I love it.
I don't know. Did Miller Huggins get his law degree?
That's the manager, but I need the school.
I have to tell you where Miller Huggins went to law school is what you're looking for.
Yeah, that would answer the question, even if you don't know the president.
I don't know. I'm going to guess... he's from Ohio. I'll say the Ohio State University.
Good guess, but incorrect. The president was William Howard Taft, and he went on to become a professor at the school where he taught the future manager and advised him to choose baseball as a career over the law. And it was University of Cincinnati.
Oh, that is brutal, that question. Well, thanks for the call.
But I didn't love it.
And sadly, we have to end it there. And I knew it wasn't going to be good because I was shaking. That is such an impossible question to get. No,
yeah, that's a tough one.
Well, you got the manager right. I mean, that's half the battle.
And I even got the area that he grew up in, but I didn't get the school correct. All right, we'll put it on the back burner for now. I'm shaking anyhow from the conversation.
Yeah, go take your temperature. Go take your temperature. Right off the
road. Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.